Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every old night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Now,
never treats me kind.
I don't care.
Trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sweet.
This highway
does not know my name, and I don't care. Dude, some old highway don't know my name.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right here, as the children call it.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Oh. Budgets live. The not-so-live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And this is the podcast for Monday, December the 3rd. You bunch of low-lifers, the first one of the last month of this year of 2023. And we are almost there, man. It's almost 2024. And I say it all the time. It goes by. Them pages on the calendar, they go a little faster as the beard gets a little more gray every day. But welcome, you bunch of low lifers, to the podcast. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. If you're new to the show and you're wondering what a low lifer is, well, that's what you are now, because that's what the fine listeners and viewers, the loyal lowlifers, refer to themselves as. And if you're wondering what that song was, it's Biloxi Blues. You can find it everywhere. I do get asked this a lot still, but it is written by me and sang by me. I had somebody on Facebook, hey, I'm trying to find the guy that sounds like a weed eater singing at the first of this goofy fishing podcast. And that's what it is. It's Biloxi Blues. It's like a 10-year-old recording. I need some new music out there. I get it. And especially after a weekend, the Triple Threat and I just had we had a date weekend. I dated her all weekend. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we just went on some dates out in public, and the kids were all busy, and so we went two nights in a row. We were up past midnight, and I know it's crazy, but we went to Friday night, went to Nashville to see Brent Cobb and a young man by the name of J.D. Clayton open for Brent Cobb. And I would suggest, if you don't know who Brent Cobb is, shame on you. But if you don't know J.D. Clayton, look him up as well. But Brent is one of my favorite songwriters in this old world. And got to see him there in Nashville. Good friend of the traveling circus world. My buddy Austin Boyd, who did the original Traveling Circus back in 19 when we filmed on the FLW tour. He followed every waking moment. Triple Threat and I talked about him when we did the live. I haven't seen him in many moons. He has done some film work for J.D. Clayton. He ended up being at the show. Got to hang out with him, so it was great, great to see. He's really the L.O.B. We call Trey the L.O.B. Austin was really the first one to take on the L.O.B. Title when he was on the road with me and Sam George. But had a great time there. And then last night, recording this on Sunday, this is the podcast for December 3rd on a Monday, But last night we went to a very cool place, if you're ever in Tennessee, called The Caverns in Pelham, Tennessee. If you've ever seen a show, Bluegrass Underground or Music Underground, I think it's on PBS. Amazing series, but they have a live music video in a cavern in the middle of absolute nowhere. I thought I lived in the middle of nowhere. It's a couple hours from the house. But my old buddy Cody Cannon, Whiskey Myers, they were doing their stripped down acoustic tour right now. And if it is not sold out and it comes near you and you're a fan of their music at all, I cannot suggest that enough. Fantastic. Like, it was such a cool show because they're a rock band. Whiskey Myers is a rock band for the most part. And it was very cool. So go catch that. I think they're only doing it. They're very limited number of shows, but go check it out if it gets in your area. But I got to see Cody and the guys. Good people. It's what I say about my buddy Ryan and the boys from Turnpike. It's amazing. Zero ego with these folks that are absolutely killing it on a large stage. Aaron Ratier and Adam Hood. Brent Kopp is supposed to be there as well. Opened the show. Aaron, I met many, many years ago through my dear friend John Decius. Aaron's one of my favorite songwriters as well. Absolute. Look Aaron up. Got an album out, Single Wide Dreamer. Fantastic. Adam Hood. Legend. Been doing it for a very long time. Adam and I talk a good bit. We had never met in person until last night. So good to catch up with all those folks. And that always does my music, just fire. Gets it burning when I go see those folks, man, out there just doing it. Man, it's so much fun. But Triple Threat and I needed that. We always try to do that in December, kind of part of our Christmas, go to a nice dinner. And we stretched her out there to two nights of it. So good times absolutely were had this weekend. Going to jump into the sponsors real quick. And then we're going to, man, I have been a longtime fan, and I'm proud to call him a friend of the show and a friend of mine with our guest today. So goodness gracious, it's a good one. It is a good one. Startron, kicking ethanol in the teeth in your weed eater and chainsaw in your outboard engine. If you're parking that thing, if you got ice on the water, put some Startron in your tank. Keep ethanol from going up the works whenever you go to get that thing back out of the garage, or maybe you're hunting so much like I am right now, and the boat sits around too much. Put some Startron in your tank. Like I said, lawnmower, leaf blower, whatever you got. Startron. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com, ProGuideBatteries.com, ProGuideBatteries.com. That is where you can find them. Code LBL10. It's where you can get you a little discount. Let them know you're a low lifer. They have a sale right now on several of their lithium batteries that runs through December 31st. So ladies or gentlemen, get your ladies to buy you some ProGuide batteries. If now is the time, get on there. Check out the lithiums, the AGMs as well. If you don't want lithiums, the AGMs are absolute fire. I ran the 31 series AGMs as trolling batteries and cranking batteries here the last couple of years. I've made the switch to lithium, and I'm very, very impressed, but the AGMs are rock solid. You cannot, absolutely cannot beat them. ProGuideBatteries.com. Bait-Works.com. Bait-Works.com. They got the LOB jig. We're working on something for the classic with the LOB jig. Baitworks will be there in attendance with a booth. They bring in the whole store to Tulsa. Excited to hear that. These folks support me. They're fantastic, fantastic people to work with. But we're working on a little something special with that LOB. But go check out the LOB if you have not. The custom 3-0 trocar hook. You're not going to straighten this hook out. You can throw it on big line, but it is a power finesse jig. So it does big things in a small package. 7 custom colors in that finer than frog hair skirt material, and I hand tied all these skirts, sent them to them. They were able to copy that in the finer than frog hair skirt material that we have. Could not be happier with this, and we are working on one right now. Ooh, boy, I'm excited about it, to be honest. Bait-works.com. Duncan-10 is going to save you money there, and right now they are having a 20% off sale on Dobbins rods, and that basically makes you on the pro staff. There's folks out here flexing that they're on the pro staff for less than that. Go to bait-works.com, order you some Dobbins rods. They're fantastic rods. I have used those over the years. And Dobbins Rods, 20% off, bait-works.com. And last but not least, Hang the Imaginary Banner Express boats, the Bassmaster Classic winning first ever aluminum boat to bring a Bassmaster Classic trophy around the arena. 96-inch beam where you can put your trophy. Sea deck bow to stern so that trophy won't slip. You ain't going to slip on it either. Super comfortable, easy to clean. 250 Yamaha shell on the back. They are Yamaha exclusive, which is a good thing because those motors are spicy. They're amazing. Best hole shot in the game, in my opinion. 21 Feet of Fury in the 21 LE that I'm using. And mine is officially with its new home, headed to its new home as we speak. And I will be picking up my new ride, hopefully, this week. But don't sleep on the X19, the H17, so many boats. The bay boats, they have a boat that fits your need, fits your budget right now, right? We're all low budget. We're low lifers. Interest rates are through the roof. But if you are shopping for a new boat, right now is the time. Contact an Express Boats dealer. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Express Boats, I'll be with those folks. I always, you hear me talk about that they're like family. And they are very much like family, and it's the Express Boats family. We say that for a reason. But I will be with those guys out in Arkansas next weekend. So December, let me check my notes. December the 9th to make sure. The triple threat is my brain most of the time. She's not here. December the 9th. So I will be, if you're in and around Arkansas, the Stuttgart, is how I say that, Stuttgart. I think people say it's Stuttgart. It's, you know, the duck hunting capital of the damn world. And this is the first weekend it opens up after the split. I know I got a lot of duck hunters that listen. If you are out there in that world, we will be at Rich and Tone RNT Game Calls on December the 9th at their Flying Duck Tap Room. It's their bar there. I've never been there here. It's very cool. But myself, Bill Lowen, Lee Livesey, rah-roh, the new team member, Lee Livesey, Big Lee, and Caleb Summerall, myself, with some other folks from Express, we will be there. I will be playing some tunes from 1 to 5. We'll be hanging out. I'm not going to play music for that entire time because I like to be able to talk on the podcast, and I will probably lose my voice if I sing for 4 hours straight these days. So used to do that a lot, but we'll be there. Stuttgart, Arkansas, RNT, Flying Duck Tap Room, 1 to 5 this coming Saturday as you listen to this, December the 9th. So if you're out there, you want to come get a bite to eat, get you a drink, come listen to some music, come meet the Express Elite guys, ask them questions, maybe get a selfie with Caleb Summerall, maybe challenge Caleb Summerall to arm wrestle. And I may bring the triple threat and have her arm wrestle Caleb Summerall. But come hang out with us. We're going to be doing a little duck hunting out there as well. So check us out right there. If you're in the area, and I actually have a lot of friends that are going to be in the area, so it should be a good time. Should be a good turnout there. All right, moving on, the bass fishing world. Really cool deal, in my opinion, was announced this week, and a much needed thing in the bass fishing world. The West Coast does tend to get ignored. I've talked about that a lot on here. Anytime a schedule comes out for a national trail, West Coast anglers like, what the hell? And I get it, because it is such a sacrifice for the West Coast guys to come. But you primarily make your living in the Midwest to the Southeast. It is very much the way it is, and understandably so. These are business. These tournament trails are businesses. Cost a lot for them to go out west. There's not a ton of guys. There might be more if they went out there, and I understand that. But there's just a huge cost involved to take the whole, you know, shooting match out there. But bass pulled out of the West a long time ago. So did FLW. There's really no qualifying trails. There used to be the Western Opens, and that's how we found guys like Ish Monroe and Skeet Reese back in the day. The John Murrays came up out there crushing. Dean Rojas. So many different people, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Cut their teeth out there. And, you know, Josh Bertrands. There's so many great Western anglers that I've left so many out, but One Bass, WON, won, like I won that tournament out there. They put on the US Open, fantastic event that I wish I could go participate in one of these years. Such a cool event. but legendary event in the sport of bass fishing. But the One Bass U.S. Open, so One Bass, they've struck up a deal with Bassmaster, and they will be sending anglers. You can qualify. You have to be a Bass member, but through the One Bass that's already going down, great tournament trail, they're going to send people to the Federation, the Bass Nation. I can't remember what all this crap's called anymore. It's all changed so many times, but the Bass Nation Championship, they're going to actually send folks there. And these are pro-am style events. Very cool. So you can get to the Classic through the West again. And that, and I think that's a very, very good thing. And we'll certainly see some Western anglers making that trip to the Bassmaster Classic through that. So kudos to One Bass and Bassmaster for figuring that out. That was a simple way to be affiliated and notch that right there. I like it. I like that a lot. The only way that that gets better is if you don't have to go through the Nation and just One Bass is like technically part of Bass, like the Bass arm out there. And if you win, say, the U.S. Open or what have you, you get to go to the Classic. That would be cool. That'd be very cool, too. Another opportunity for a Western guy that doesn't leave the West to make it to the Classic. It'd be pretty cool to see. It's that time of year again. I'm seeing the marked safe from getting an invite to the to the Invitationals. Those memes going around. I've seen so many people posting. And look, dude, it's tough. It's I get it. I say this all the time. I am empathetic in a way to things going on with MLF because it is the tournament game is not easy, especially in this economy. It's just not. But I've seen so many people that are like, dude, I fished two BFLs as a co-angler and I got invited to fish as a pro in the Invitationals. Now, let's just break that down from a fundamental standpoint. So that's the trail that qualifies you for the Bass Pro Tour now. All right. Like that's how you get to, and look, the Opens qualify for you for the Elite Series and anybody can sign up. Anybody can sign up for the MPFLs. There's an application process, but anybody can sign up, but the MPFL doesn't necessarily lead you to other things. We've had anglers make the Elite Series, obviously not through the MPFL, but showed their merit through the Opens and the MPFL. And now they're Elite Series superstars. But that being said, it always has been pay to play in most ranks, but it's so crazy to me that this emphasis is put on, this is the top level of the sport, but we're inviting people to the qualifying rounds, essentially, if you got 30 grand and a pulse and a Major League Fishing MLFLW membership. It's not a good look, dude. It's not a good look. And again, the economy's headed, it doesn't appear to be good. Lots going on, people holding their dollars close to their vest, but that ain't a good look. And I've seen a lot of people that follow the show have sent me, hey, here's my invite letter. I literally fished one as a co-angler. I fished a Toyota Series as a co-angler, and I caught two bass, and I got invited to be a pro in the Invitationals. And I'm looking right at the camera, I said, there are some dummies out there that are going to take this opportunity. Friends, I wish I could zoom in. Listen, if you fished one event as a co-angler in a BFL or two, and you got that little email and you've got the money sitting there, that's great. Okay. Go do it. Live your dream. But if you don't have the money to do it and you got to try to scrounge it up, you're calling sponsors, and this goes for whatever league it is, and you're calling people, I need some money because I can go do this. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're not prepared in some way, you don't have a plan, this wasn't part of your plan, don't go do it. A, you're going to get your teeth kicked in because them boys do not play. Do not play. Because there are a lot of them that didn't get that invite that are already there trying to get to Bass Pro Tour level and can mix it up with anybody in the country. They're going to kick your teeth in. You're going to come home and your wife is going to be gone and all your crap is going to be something. Like, don't sell your house and move in with your mom's basement to fish the Invitationals if you fished one MLFLW event ever. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm begging you. If you're listening to the show, I hope I did not insult you by saying you should not do that. But do not do that. It is not a good idea. It's just not. I've seen people post, y'all think I should do it? Don't do it. I'm here to tell you, don't do it. It's not a good idea. It's literally the worst business decision you're ever going to make. And maybe you have a standout year. Maybe you go from co-angler at single A apparently you didn't have a boat or you didn't want to use it to the big time, but buddy, there's a big bunch of steps we skipped right there. So just don't, it's because it's easy to get excited. Oh, I got an opportunity. It's easy to get excited, but I promise you that opportunity will come again. It will come again. But I do feel like that circuit, if it leads to the BPT to some level, you got to be able to qualify. I don't know. And they'll qualify you if you do decide to pay your money. There's some boys over there going to qualify you once you get there. You're going to find out, we have made a grave error here. We have made a great error. I didn't get invited, though. Dude, I was on the tour, right? I didn't even get invited. So that hurts my heart. I'm not a current member. That hurts my heart. I did not get invited. So, Boyd, I don't know why we keep dancing around this, man. I don't know why you don't invite the lowlifer back, but this is what it is, man. So I guess I'm just going to be stuck running my mouth with MPFL and Alabama Bass Trail and fishing with my kids again. Rats. Rats. All right. This guy, I said this last week about David Fritz, fishing hero. Old school fishing hero for me, for sure. This guy, if you've listened to the show for very long and you've listened to his show for very long, you've seen me on there. I give him all the credit in the world for this existing. Really, for a lot of things in my life existing because of this podcast, because without this man, without his show, I would have never ventured off into this world, to be honest. I went on his show a lot, and I was with him, his crew. They were so kind to me in every way. They were always in my corner when I was fishing FLW, and I met this guy several times when I was – kid and coming up fishing terms. He's always super kind, and I do owe him a lot, and he knows that, because I hope he knows that, because I tell him that every time I get the chance, and I always will. It means a lot to me. He's one of my fishing heroes as a kid. He's so many people their fishing hero. He has been controversial. He has never been afraid to speak his mind, but he is always himself. Always. He has won almost $3 million or over $3 million in professional fishing. He's a Bassmaster Classic champion. He's a Bassmaster Angler of the Year. He's a Federation champion back in the day. He's the host of the My World Show on Waypoint TV right now. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from Jersey, Jersey, Maine, Mike Iaconelli. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, here he is, the one and only one of my heroes. I had an old school fishing hero of mine on last week with David Fritz, but this guy right here, and he knows that I've told him many, many times, he's one of my heroes in life, Mike Iaconelli. Welcome back to Low Budget Live.
How you doing? Well, I appreciate that, because David Fritz is a hero of mine as well. And I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but I drew out David Fritz in a Bass Top 100 or Top 150 Pro-Am that I fished as an amateur back on Lake Norman in, I think it was 93, I drew out with him. And
never heard that story.
Dude, it was unbelievable. It actually changed the scope of my life because, you know, watching those guys, back then they were four-day tournaments. And I drew out with Fritz, Gary Klein, Tommy Biffle, and Cliff Kraft, all in the same tournament. They were four-day events. And honestly, I can tell you that that experience drew me to want to do it myself, you know. But that day in particular, watching him, you know, with a crankbait. And you got to remember, Luke, you know this, but I'm from Jersey. It doesn't go down in Jersey like it does in other places.
Right, right.
And I got to watch him on Lake Norman with a crankbait fishing that, you know, that 10 to 20 foot zone cranking. And it was an eye opener for me, you know, because up to that point, I never really, you know, I saw it in magazines and watched it, but now you're watching it in person. And it blew me away at how good he was with that technique. And I'm going to say it, pre high tech electronics.
Yes.
His ability, man, you can't even talk about forward face sonar anymore. You know, people love you or hate you, but he was using a flasher. He was lining up. He used a marker buoy. He had a fiberglass rod. He was not looking at his rod tip. He was purposely causing delay, like all these things that I'm watching. And I'm like, I did really terrible in that first tournament because the whole time on the back deck, I was like,
yeah, you got your, you're glued.
It was crazy, but great piece of my life, you know, having a chance to fish with him, and he's one of my heroes too.
So something he said last week, and you just saying your mind was blown, because I feel like bass fishing was beating the bank essentially for so many of us. I mean, yeah. If you grew up fishing ponds, that's what you're doing. Maybe your first bite ever came on a buzzbait or a topwater frog or a hula popper, who knows? But that offshore world to me, when I was 10, 12, even growing up on the Tennessee River, it was so strange because you felt like you were in the middle of nowhere. And David made a comment last week about Patrick Walters. Yeah. And now, man, he can see one and he's going down the forward facing rabbit hole, you know, and David's obviously he's not a fan of where it's headed. Seemed to me he wasn't, you know, he didn't Randy Blockett it necessarily, but he was certainly, you know, he's like, man, his mind was blown essentially. Yeah. And I said to him, well, don't you think that there were some people in the bag lines when you were on the Fritz Blitz and they're flipping docks and they see you out there in the middle of the lake? There was a changing of the guard then too, right? Yeah. Like then all those guys started going out there, but don't you feel like, I mean, and social media wasn't around then necessarily to hear the griping or to see it as much as we see it. But don't you think that that was similar to what we're experiencing now?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, change or a new success always blows people away a little bit. You know, I think it's human nature to want to, you know, not accept change because it's different, you know? So I think for sure, I think you could look back in the history of bass fishing and there were moments or anglers that caused change and it blew people away. But you know, in his defense or in, you know, maybe the old guy's defense, there was something very magical about the era when you were fishing with the bait, not necessarily with all the technology. And I'm not downing it because honestly, listen, that survey, Bass sent a survey around to a handful of the anglers. And I said, my honest answer in that survey was, as much as I dislike forward facing sonar, it's not a reason to get rid of it. Right. You know, it's one person's opinion shouldn't be, right. You know, but I am so thankful that my heyday in the sport, you know, my come up in the sport of professional fishing was in a time when you were fishing by feel. And there was this magic of not knowing what was out there. You know, you were, you know, working and grinding. And, you know, I don't think coming up today, I don't think I would have been the angler I was in that time frame for me. You know, I really don't. I think maybe I'd be an average angler. Maybe I'd be a below average angler. But one of the strengths of the height of my career, you know, my come up was the grind and working and just, you know, making 2,000 casts, using the lure to find the fish and to find the cover and the structure and that magic rock. That was my deal. And, you know, so I'm so happy I was in that era, man. And for a lot of reasons, you know, for the fishing aspect, for that time frame, which was, you know, to me, two heydays of the sport. The one was the, I'd call it early 80s to early 90s, heyday of the sport. But another one to me, honestly, was that era I was in. It was the heyday of ESPN and visibility and, you know, like put me in any other era in fishing and I don't think I would have the success that I had. So,
Wheaties boxes, late night talk shows.
Yes. All that.
Why are we not there now? You know what I mean? Like that's a growing like, sport, but where are we at?
It feels like we went backward a bit, but I'm thankful. Like, you know, I get asked all the time, you know, man, would you change anything? Would you do it different? Yeah, obviously. Luke, you know, there's things you go back and you, man, I wish I made a mistake there. I wish I could have did that a little different, but I don't want to change anything. I came up in the perfect era for me and the perfect time. And, you know, if all the tournament fishing were to end for me today, I'm very, very happy with my career and how everything went, you know?
Well, yeah, man, classic champ. I mean, you lived your dream from the Federation, and you say the come up, like that is the best way I feel like to describe your entire career just like you said, being from Jersey, you weren't exposed to so many of the lakes and patterns that you would get to run into head on out on the national, whether it was with FLW, whether it was with bass. Yeah. And dude, you had so much success across the board and still do, man. And I do think it's interesting because we get in these arguments, right? These LeBron Jordan arguments, you know, who would have been better, but you do have different eras in sports
and
we're living a different one now. And I find it interesting that you say, man, I might have just been an average angler. I don't believe that because of your work ethic. And I think the way you understand fish, and you're that before daylight to after dark guy, you always have been. So I feel like you can't say that about yourself. I'm not going to allow that on Low Budget Live. I'm not going to say I would have been an average angler. No, you're far from an average angler. But we are certainly seeing something different. And David said, you know, this incoming class, and he's right, it's one of the youngest into the elites we've ever seen on average. But I do think about a young Ike and a young Van Dant. We've had those, but it certainly wasn't a youth movement like we see now.
Right. I agree. And you know, you have to put it in context of the information highway and the accessibility for a young angler back then. It was a different world. You know, it was no high school tournaments and no college tournaments and no Bass University and no Low Budget Live. And you didn't have these things. And I think, you know, the route has gotten younger and younger because of the access to that information. Mm-hmm. But you know, that was a long time ago, but I vividly remember it, man, fishing with them and, you know, having that determination to want to do it. And, you know, looking back at it, it was, I think I didn't realize at the time that this sport and your role as an angler wasn't just fishing. You know, I think like a lot of young guys, you might think that, well, if I'm a good fit angler, I can do everything. But it was a very eye-opening experience to be thrust into professional fishing and realize how important that other 50% is, which is the sponsorships and the promotions and the marketing. And, you know, I'm proud of that too. I'm proud of that. I got good at that without a lot of, you know, didn't have a lot of people to leverage. Didn't have a, you know, you're looking at it at afar from New Jersey, trying to decipher what you need to do. And I'm proud to look back and, you know, have created a good brand and have figured out ways to reach people and sell product. And, you know, but keep in mind, and I want everybody to know this listening and watching, you know, that side of the business is necessary, but it is not, trying to think of the right way to say it. It's not a given, you know, even at this stage, even at this stage in my career, you know, you have to work and hustle and create amazing things. But at the end of the day, you're at the mercy of the sponsor. And that is just an inherent thing with our sport. So, you know, fishing, like, you know, like I'm trying to think of some other examples, like Wall Street, like maybe, you know, Hollywood or the music industry. Mm-hmm. It's just as ruthless. And I'm here to tell you, ain't all good guys in the fishing industry. And, you know,
among thieves, one of my favorite things. Yeah.
And it's just as cutthroat and just as ruthless as other businesses. And, you know, the reality of sponsorship is that, you know, at the end of the day, you try to do your best you can do for them, but, you know, there's no certainty there. You know, guys like John Cruise that created their own lure companies,
yes,
like the very, very smart guys, because at the end of the day, most of us are just, you know, we're just a number on a spreadsheet. And as your personal relationships change or as the company changes, it's very, very easy to lose something that you thought was going to be a forever, you know? So ruthless business, just like any other business, you know.
Well, that word loyalty gets thrown around a lot, and I think you and I've had this conversation before, but you're only as loyal as the person that's loyal to you within a company sometimes. And like you said, those faces and names change, whether it's through acquisitions, which we're seeing a lot now in the fishing industry. I've experienced that personally just at TH Marine. Like, things change, right? Like, things are going to change. And I actually, it's funny you brought that up. I had that in my notes here, because you're a guy, like you said, you're very proud of what you've done, but you're somebody I think about. And again, the Jacob Fouts video came out a few weeks ago, and And part of it frustrated me just because I can hear what you're saying there as I don't think a lot of, and I hear this from a lot of young pros that I know that yeah. I've gotten to know, and they're in their 20s and they think that it's just whether you fish the Opens, whether you fish the MPFL, whether you qualify for the Elite Series, no matter where you're at, that the heavens just open and money falls out because you like to fish and you chose that life. And we see it so much. Yeah. And I think we've done a disservice sometimes, though, to these high school and college anglers. Like, the industry wants them in the industry, but I feel like we feed them this dream that it's just, hey, man, if you do this, here you go. Here are the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah. But I
think about a person like you with all you've had going on for years. And I'm like, how in the hell did he even focus to win the Classic, to win an AOY, to run? Because, man, between everything, and look, I know you give Beck a lot of credit.
Yeah.
You guys are a power team and everybody else that works with you guys. But, man, to do the podcast like you did forever, to do all your television endeavors, but you're like that guy for sponsors. You're traveling to all these seminars. Like, you got the most out of your Classic win that I think anybody ever has. Like, you were everywhere, dude. But I think about you when I hear somebody bitching and I'm like, hey, here's Mike's number. You should maybe call me. How this works. But is that a fair assessment that you think, and maybe it's just that younger generation now that I'm an old man at 40, but do you think that, and especially I think it's harder now, but do you think that people don't realize how important that sponsor side, promotional side of their life is?
Yeah, I think it's easy to misjudge that. You know, I think, you know, maybe using Jacob Fouts as the one extreme.
Right.
I think it's very naive to come into the sport and not believe that sponsorship is an important thing. Right. So, he knew. I knew as an 18-year-old, my first Bassmaster magazine, looking at it, I was like, oh, yeah, sponsorship is important. Like, you, I get it. You know, you don't have to be that intelligent to understand, but I think the level at which it's important, it slips by some people. And, you know, Luke, there's 10%, maybe less, of aspiring tour professionals and then who later, you know, make it, less than 10% that can make a living just fishing. You know, that is the very minute number. And so for the other mere mortals, the other not 90%, you got to know that the business side is 50% of it. And you have to create things on that business side that will carry you through your career or create your career, create your brand, you know? And it's not just traditional sponsorships. It's branding. And it's creating your own businesses and platforms and outlets and, you know, finding ways to have income other than a check from a tournament place, you know, coming in the top 50 or coming in the top 10. You got to find those other routes or you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it long, you know, and that's just the reality of it, you know. So they got to know. They got to know. And if they don't know, wake up and know right now that 50% of it is not fishing, you know?
Well, and I think leaning on, we get sold a lot of platforms, right? And I'm not taking a shot at any league here, but essentially the anglers are customers. Everybody's still paying entry fees. So yeah, it's great that you got on Bass Live, but you can't just lean on the fact that, hey, I qualified to be on Bass Live today and now I don't have to do anything else the rest of the time. I love that. You've got to make your own platform. I think you certainly did that. And look, you did amazing things from being on camera, right? Like, that led to the two are married essentially, yeah. But you pay for that almost in tournaments, right? So I love that. And look, not everybody has the personality for it. And I understand that too, but you almost, if you want it to work and hey, I'm going to, when I go to do my taxes, fishing is my deal. When I sit down with my accountant, whenever we're sorting it all out at the end of the year, talking about how much money I lost most of the time when I talk about fishing. But if you want that to be your profession, you've got, it can't just be with rod and reel. And it's never been that way like you said, other than maybe 10%.
Yeah, less than 10%. And you have to find other outlets. And so, you know, I'm here to preach too, not just the sponsorships, because again, you know, sponsors come and go. And you have to know that. And, you know, the reality of it for me is really hitting, because, you know, I wasn't naive to know that, you know, I look at my heroes in the sport, whether it's a David Fritz or a Hank Parker, a Jimmy Houston or a Bill Dance. And when you see names like that getting axed, getting cut, there's no loyalty in this sport, you know, for crying out loud. You're really going to cut the Babe Ruth of bass fishing? You know, like, who would ever get rid of Bill Dance? Like, you keep Bill Dance on the payroll till he's not around anymore.
No matter what.
I mean, it's never going to get any better. But yet you see these big companies, Bill's just the number on their sheet, you know, and that's going to happen to me. And it's happening to me. I'm aging out of it. I understand that, but I'm so thankful I've created other things. And I want everybody listening to this to keep that in mind. So yes, sponsorship is important, but do other things, you know, create your brand and create outlets in your brand, do lures, do colors, do licensing agreement, figure out other ways to hustle in the fishing industry that will give you longevity. So you're not at the mercy of the sponsor, right? Mm-hmm. Sponsors are great and hustle and work hard for them, but don't be at the mercy of sponsors. That's bad. You know,
you can't put all your eggs in that basket either. It's like the rod and reel basket. You better be figuring it out, man.
Right.
It's crazy. And something else that I had that I definitely wanted to ask you is, you've always been for the anglers. I mean, trying to get the anglers to kind of, you and I've had a lot of conversations about this over the years of folks just kind of taking shitty deals, for lack of a better term, right? And like, hey man, for 3 packs of worms, we want you to work 47 shows. And, right? And then a guy comes in and goes, well, I would like to get paid X. And they're like, well, we can't do that because we have 15 guys that took 3 packs of worms. So we're not going to give you X. And it's really, there's a lot of that goes on, and it still goes on. I think people would be shocked at some of the deals. And I think that's what the Jacob Fouts video, going back to that, is this, because, hey, kudos to him for speaking up and kind of laying it out there, but he took kind of a shitty deal from a sponsor. He's like, I did all this for, well, I forget, like $7,000. Like, well, yeah, I don't think that was a good idea at the time, you know?
I mean, Luke, this is, God, we could do a, honestly,
I know.
This is so inside of me that we could like literally do probably a 20 hours of this on a podcast, which maybe people would fall asleep or maybe they would listen. But yes, like, you know, it hurts my soul that being in it this long and, you know, the anglers have never been able to unify or have never been able to get on the same page. It really hurts my soul. And, you know, it's like, recently what happened with MLF, and, you know, MLF just said, here's what we're doing. And the anglers were like, what, you know, they're pulling their hat off. They're doing the Kevin Van Dam scratch on top of their head. They're confused. They're, you know, and then all of a sudden you see this, they're trying to create this organization.
Press release.
I'm like, guys, you missed the boat. Like, for those of you listening to this podcast right now, if you don't know the story, when the leagues were splitting, I mean, literally as it was happening, there was an email circulated around between all the professional anglers at the time. So that's all MLF, old MLF guys, the old Bass Elite guys, the FLW touring guys at the time. So it was a big email list. I was on it.
Yes.
And, you know, it was an email saying, hey guys, now is our time. Let's organize above and beyond, outside of the tournament organizations, as a collective group of anglers, no matter what league you fish, this is the time. And it was, oh God. And I remember, you know, like, I think there were like maybe 20 responses back out of the 300 plus. Of the 20 that came back, like 10 were into it, 10 weren't, 10 were worried about their sponsors.
Yes.
And I'm like, and it was just like, and then I see that letter come out and I'm like, guys, you missed the boat. We all missed the boat. That was the time. But as much as it hurts me and as much as I wish there was a way, I don't know that it's ever going to happen, man. You know, we've done things here internally to really try to help other anglers and try to educate and try to help them with their careers. And they, man, I don't know what to say, but a lot of people just don't, they don't get it. They don't understand. And, you know, it really hurts the sport when a top level guy, the best in the world, will work for almost nothing, when they'll put a wrap on their truck and boat for almost nothing, when they'll design a lure for no intellectual, you know, that's their intellectual property. They don't want to get paid for it. They're, you know, when it's they're not
an ego thing, right? Like, yeah, they just put their name on it just to say their names on it.
When they're not taking accountability for that, especially as an established pro, well, that trickles down the line. And it's happened. It's still happening. It's unfortunate. I don't know how to fix it. We almost got to the point where we're just like ready to wave the white flag and just say, you guys are on your own, because we, you know, I would love to change this, and I don't know how to do it. You know, I wish I had an answer on how to change it, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, why I've never understand why. And I get that we're individuals, right? It's an individual brand sort of thing. And everybody's right, worried about theirs versus the collective group. But there's obviously there's always strength in numbers. But I will say this, going to the BPT thing, and I will not name this guy. I like this guy a lot, but he reached out to me, and he was one of the ones that formed the Angler Protection Committee with BPT. And he called me and he goes, hey, I want you to talk about this. You know, this is what's coming out. And I said, well, okay, what are we looking at here? You guys are going to say, F you guys, and we're not signing our contracts. And his exact words were, well, man, I just signed a really big sponsor deal a couple of weeks ago that is contingent on me fishing BPT. And when contract time comes, I'm really not going to have any choice. And I said, then what's the point in any of this?
Yeah.
Is what I asked him on the phone. I said, and I told him, I said, hey, I'm not talking, I get it. Yeah. You got kids to, I totally understand, but what's the point? Why are you trying to do it if your heart's not in it? If all of you aren't all in on this, and look, there were guys that took a stand and said, well, hey, I'm just going to go choose to do something else. And hey, hats off to them. And there are guys that stayed, and look, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. That you think you got to have the platform, go ahead. But it always puzzles me talking to anglers that you can never get more than two or three on the same page. I feel like, you know what I mean?
Very, very difficult, very difficult. And the sponsor thing, you know, is the reason a lot of guys would never do it or would never stand up. And the interesting thing about it is that a lot of the bigger sponsors that I've talked to, they were rooting for us to do that. Like, it's the opposite of what you would think, you know? So a lot of these big companies are having the same problems with the organizations that we're having, right?
Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, I think a lot of these big companies would support the anglers organizing, but it's just hard, man. And you know, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, because I can remember the early stages of my career, and you know, you just want to make it, you just want to fish, you know, you're living your dream. And I get all that, but man, at some point for us to get to the next level, this has got to happen. We talked on the beginning of this call, how the hell was there more money and more visibility in the sport of bass fishing in the late 90s to early 2000s than now? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
And the reason is we've been taken advantage of a lot by people, by the organizations, the organizations. And it's a shame. It's a shame. But, you know, I think I'm getting old and grumpy, and I'm getting to a stage of my career where I'm just like, F them. They're on their own now.
Godspeed. Godspeed, anglers. I tried to lay the foundation and teach you something as I learned by hard knocks here.
Yeah.
And you ignored my teachings.
Yeah. So. I mean, part of me is like, F him. And the other part of me is not, because I have friends and, you know, people that I admire that are young anglers. We have a son that's 12.
Yeah, loves it.
That dreams about doing it. And, you know, so I'm sympathetic from that side, but the other side, I'm just like, man, I had enough. I had enough of this, you know?
It's, hey, I get it. And I think people, they're scared to speak up or be themselves. You know, it's a very, we live in a very PC industry, and I know you agree with that.
Yeah.
And you've always been Mike, unapologetically Mike, no matter what. And I'm the same way, right? Yeah. And I think that's something I'd learned from you is, oh, I can be myself and it's okay. And I think when I have been very outspoken on this show, just like you've been on your show so many times, the number of industry people I hear from is always mind-blowing are true industry professionals that I feel like are the ones anglers fear to speak out in front of, and they're the biggest fans of this platform, to be honest. Like, they're like, hey, thank you for saying that, somebody needed to a long time ago. And I know you get you've got the same thing over the years, and it's really incredible, man. Like, it's okay to be yourself. I think you see a guy like Matt Robertson, he's just himself all the time, and there's a reason he's successful, because he doesn't try to hide anything. I feel like I love that.
Yeah, it's super. That's super important, and it's refreshing, I think, for people in the industry to hear the truth. And you know, it's sometimes hard to let it all out. You know, I honestly look forward to the day when I'm totally signed off, because, you know, I may have mentioned this to you before, but I honestly have another book that's kind of waiting. You know. That's a part two to my book series. And I can't wait to the day that I can release it and be 100% honest and let it all out there. But, you know, I think when you talk about, you know, people that have really, you know, worn their heart on their sleeve and said what they wanted to say, there's a strength to that. And there's some of the strongest brands out there have that. And, you know, the longevity of it is really the key. And so, you know, like for me, man, I've been the same, and it's been good for me and bad for me over the years, but it's been the same. And I think people realize that, and they are attracted to brands that are true the whole time, that are, you know, that voice or that image, that whatever that is, if it's consistent, then it's real. And there's strength to that, you know?
And the reactions are a roller coaster at times. And you've certainly lived that through your career, the roller coaster of how people react to certain things. But at the same time, it all, like you're saying, it evens out and it all works out. I feel like, as long as you're true to who you are, and not fake, and you're certainly not that, man. And, you know, I was talking, and I say this every time I'm around you, just because I have to, because I feel like I have to give credit where credit's due. But I've told the story many times. I met you when I was a kid several times at tournaments, and you were always just this larger than life guy on TV to me. And then I watched you just take time and talk to every kid that's coming up, like, Mr. Iaconelli, can I get a man's stone jig? You know, like, I was that kid on Pickwick Lake, man. And I just, I've always respected that about you, though, man, no matter, because you're like me, you've been divisive. People are like, get that LA guy out of bass fishing. You know, when you were going with the Flames on the jersey, they were like, who is this? Where did this come from? You disrupted their world, buddy.
Yeah. And like I said, I've done a lot. I've done things right in my career. I've done things wrong in my career. But the probably the biggest thing that I did right was to put the fans number one. They were right at the front. And it was a lot of what I saw as a fan myself, right? You know, when I was in my teens, when I was in high school, when I was going to these boat shows and sports shows and reading the magazines, and, you know, the guys I admired were the guys that were spending time with people. And I always said from day one, you know, if someone is taking time out of their day to come talk to you, you've got to reciprocate that. And it's got to come first. It's got to come above you're mad because you didn't catch shit. It's got to come over media, over sponsor. Like, it's got to be number one. That fan has to be number one. And man, I did that right in my career, and I'm so happy I did, because it was a mutual relationship. Like, I felt like that was the most important thing in my career. I still do. And it also helped me through the low points of my career. So, you know, I've said it before, man, I've had in my professional career, I've had probably three or four moments where I was pretty sure I was done with it. And a few were before the Classic, a few were after the Classic that I won. But, you know, when I look back, it was like those fans really kept me going. Like they were the ones that gave me the drive and the motivation to continue on with it. You know, probably the most recent one, you know, was the MLF thing. Like, I don't know if I've told you this before on the show, but when I was competing over there, my last year over there, I was like literally depressed. Like, how are you depressed? What's there to be depressed about? I can't hardly explain it. But, you know, a big part of it, I think, was there were no fans there, right? And there was no fan interaction. And, you know, I missed it. And but it gave me a drive to get back to that. And, you know, you come off of the weigh-in stage, you've got one little fish and everybody else has got 20 pounds. Dude, I'm mad. I'm sad. But all of a sudden there's people that want to shake your hand and want to see you. People that want to say hi, people that want to share a story. God, that's priceless, Luke. That is probably the most important thing that's ever happened in my career is that interaction, you know?
I get it, man. And you've got thousands of folks that care about you. No matter if you ever weigh in another bass, if you walk in a room where there are a bunch of fish heads, they're coming to talk to Mike Iaconelli and share stories. And so many of them have the same kind of stories that I have as a kid. And I know I told that on Ike Live. And again, since I got you here, you guys celebrated this year, you kind of changing up Ike Live a little bit.
Yeah.
But I just want to say on here before we move on, thank you for doing that show, because this right here would never have existed in my life. You kind of, I mean, you included me in Ike Live so many times, and really you and the whole crew up there. I'll even give Brian the Carpenter some credit. You know, he's doing this whole new show thing now.
Yeah.
Great, by the way. Just almost had a virtual fist fight between Blockhead and Milliken the other night.
Yeah, that would have been a first. That would have been a first.
That would have been a first. But yeah, man, I just got to thank you just for being a pioneer, risking, I mean, a lot to do what you guys did, man. And I don't think there's so many fishing podcasts now. They're everywhere. There's a ton. And I don't think people give you guys credit for where credit's due. For what you did. And Mark Jeffries, look, man, Bass Talk Live. Like, I know you worked with Mark. Like, those two shows were instrumental.
Yeah, thank you. And shout out to Mark Jeffries for sure. But it's awesome to be involved in a podcast. It's one of the things, Luke, I see it. You know, listen, if the tournament fishing for me goes away in 5 or 10 years, if a lot of the other things go away, that's something I enjoy. And I honestly, I want to do a podcast. I want to do Ike Live till I can't do it anymore. Like if Beck's wheeling me around in a wheelchair and she can't get me to the studio or whatever, that would probably be when I had to end doing it. Maybe I'll just do it on my phone then.
I was going to say Beck will put the phone. She'll have you doing a show.
Yeah. But it's been a fun process. And the same thing, you know, the fans have kept that one going and you know, it's just been, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of things in my career have been fun, but that premise has really been fun. And, you know, just as a little nod to it, you know, it's interesting. We'd have to do, we've got to do little, when they induct you into the Hall of Fame, they ask you for pieces of memorabilia, you know, and Becky and I really, instead of just saying, here's a bunch of shit from the garage, we really tried to think it out and give like pieces of memorabilia that were important to us and in our career. And one of the things in the Hall of Fame display is an Ike Live poster that Steve Donish drew from one of the Aaron Martin shows that we did. And, you know, I'm proud of a lot of stuff in that Hall of Fame display, but having the Ike Live show represented in that Hall of Fame was important. And I'm glad it's there. You know,
I didn't realize that. That is, that's very cool. Very cool to hear. And you should be proud of that. For sure, man. I just think about all the iconic just moments, and goodness gracious, there have been some good ones, buddy.
It's some good ones. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we started Ike Live 10 years ago, because some of the things that went down in those first couple of years, you know, in today's cancel culture, I look back and I don't know how we survived some of those. Yeah, but there's been some really
good Dave.
Oh yeah, yeah, man. If you're watching this one, go back and look at some, you know, look and listen to some of those old Like Live podcasts. We had some really good ones. You know, we learned really quick after about the second, third year, we had to get rid of Ike Live After Hours because you know, the shows were 2 or 3 hours long, sometimes 4 hours long. The regular shows, the whole time, Luke, we're drinking, right? So we're drinking beer and drinking whiskey. And so, you know, then we'd go off air. And this is back when the studio was in a different location. There's a bar right there. So then we go to the bar. We'd be off air for an hour drinking more. And then someone has the bright idea. Go live again. Oh, that's a bad idea, guys.
Those are the days, man. Those were the days. And there have been very few LBLs because I don't do lives that much anymore, but there have been the ones and people that the low lifers that keep up, they know the ones where I got in the liquor a little bit and I start really throwing it out there. They're like, whoa, truth bombs everywhere.
Yeah, so good. So good.
That's the best, man. That's that truth serum starts coming out. I love it, man. I remember those. And damn, I have waited. Fat Cat and I were joking about this the other day. I'm like, if I went up and added at the hours of my life I've waited in the waiting room, we're waiting for BTC to go, hey, dude, we're coming to you next, that I've sat here to do a stupid Bill Taylor impression.
Oh, man.
You guys were going long on something else, and he's like, hey, man, sorry. We're like 2 hours behind.
It's every show. Like when we're together, we always go long because we have no etiquette. And, you know, like I'm going long. Dave comes in, changes the story, has something to do with UFOs or Bigfoot or it's a government conspiracy. And then Pete, you know, Sweet Pete, we call him because he's like, you know, he would, dude, if a fly landed on his face, he wouldn't kill it. He would just like swoosh it off lightly to not kill the fly. And then, you know, Pete has no, you know, I'm giving Brian the signal, like, okay, you know, let's get the next. And then Pete comes in and changes the subject, wants to talk about a crankbait or something, running 10 feet. Come on, Pete.
Pete is dialed on the details. Always. He accused me of being Ike and Ellie the other day. I did Bass U to talk to some NPFL stuff. And I said, he's like, well, what else do you got going on next year? And I said, well, I've actually got an announcement, and it was going to be the next week, and I couldn't say anything. It was ABT, but I said, because he was like, what are you fishing? What are you doing? And I said, well, I've actually got an announcement. He goes, okay, Ike, you got an announcement about an announcement.
Announcement of announcement.
Well, it is what it is. I learned from the master. What can I say? Awesome. Well, dude, talk about my world. I know I'm doing the Waypoint thing through the podcast here. I'm with the Waypoint Collective on the podcast side of it. Great people, but you're doing the My World show is back. Through Waypoint TV, let's tell folks where they can find that and what's going on with that, because I've seen the clips. I've not got to watch the first episode yet, but it looks big time as usual.
Yeah, it's exciting because, you know, again, it's important for us to reach outside of the tournament bubble, and so, you know, that digital content world is a great way for us to reach out. So, you know, My World is one of those projects, and it was cool because it was a premise. It's a show where I got to get into the world of a professional athlete from another sport, of an entertainer, an actor, a musician. I got to get into their world for a day, and then I got to take them fishing. And it's just such a cool concept. You know, from a selfish standpoint, I want to tell you that my day in their world was a lot more fun for me because it was such an eye opener. Like, you know, our initial episode aired last Monday, 9:30 PM on Waypoint, was with Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. And you can watch as much professional football as you want to on the couch. And I do, and not realize how much training and skill and athleticism goes into that sport. So, you know, getting a chance to do a training day, a training camp with Lane, dude, it was incredible. It was incredible. I paid for it. For a few weeks, I paid for it.
I was going to say, how'd that work out?
But it was incredible. So, yes, it's been such a fun project. I invite everybody to tune into it. It's definitely a different spin on a fishing show. And you know, that's important to us. Whether it's this project, My World, on Waypoint, we've got a reboot also of the City Fishing Show coming back on. It's going to probably end up on Waypoint as well. So both those projects, man. you know, it's cool for us to do it. It's cool for me to do it. Gives me a chance to go fishing without the normal parameters of a tournament, you know? And, I love that. I love fishing for other species. Just fun project. And here's the thing. So, you know, TV is changing, and that's why I don't even like to call it TV anymore, because, you know, TV, when we were young, it was a very established thing, and you go to TNN or you go to whatever and watch your favorite guys, but it's so diluted now. So, you know, the future really, honestly, are these digital platforms, you know, smart TVs, you know, all these new ways to disseminate this content. That's the future. And, you know, we're happy to have partnered Waypoint, because I think at least for the outdoor world, they're at the forefront of getting this content. So it's exciting. Definitely invite anybody to go check it out if they haven't. And unlike a normal TV show, if you've missed it, you can't find it again, you could watch it anytime over on the Waypoint platform, which is really cool.
So have you released all the guests, or is it kind of a surprise? You're going week by week, because I was going to ask you what was your favorite episode, but you might not want to give out the guest, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you, season one we've got released, and
season one is out. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at Becky to see if she's giving me evil eyes. Yeah,
she's going
to
say,
what's that?
Rebecca.
She's looking at, like, she's going, One show is out. Yeah. Okay, but I can talk about the other shows, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, season one was great. And I really got a nice slice of different sports. So we, Lane Johnson in the football world, to Martin Truex Jr. in the NASCAR world. You know, amazing to see what those guys go through. The bowling world, you know, like this, you know, that one is, people are like, is that even a sport? And then after bowling with Kyle Troop for a day, 1,000,000% professional bowling is a sport. But we did golf. We did UFC with Jim Miller. Just these amazing sports. And then season two, we've got some really cool sports too. Okay. And it's that nice mix of mainstream sports that everyone knows about to these more, you know, side sports. And I still feel like fishing's one of those, right? You know, we're one of those side sports, but it's been so fun. I can't really give you a favorite. Honestly, like, I look back at it and each show had a moment that opened my eyes up, whether it was in their world, in their perspective sport, or whether it was fishing. They all had moments that were amazing. You know, just to give you a little teaser, getting choked out by Jim Miller and literally going out was the most unbelievably crazy, ridiculous thing that I've ever done in my life. But I'm glad I did it. I wanted to experience that, you know. Riding a bull, you know, we got to ride a bull with a PBA guy. Just unbelievable. Golf, you know, golf's another one of those sports where from afar I looked at it, I'm like, golf? Oh, come on, man.
Yeah. Goofy. You know,
yeah. And getting to golf with one of the best female golfers in the world, Marina Alex, was incredible, eye-opening to see what they do and how good they are. So they all had highlights, man. I can't even pick one for
you.
That's
cool, man. Well, I think through the podcast and through fishing, I've got to meet, you know, a lot of, you know, my love for music. So I've gotten to be friends with a lot of musicians that either they're all in with bass fishing or they've just gotten in. And it's always funny and to go fish with them, no matter how much they say they love it, there are times when you're in the boat and they're like, damn, man, we haven't had a break. We're going pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's the same when you go train. You know what I mean? But they're like, damn, you take this really serious, dude. It's a Tuesday and we're just fishing a little small lake. What are you doing?
That's the biggest comment I get from, especially from the athletes, is that there is no reset, you know, and it's, it's 6 or 8 or 10 hours of pure going, you know. Mm-hmm. There isn't, you know, a down. There isn't a period, a break, an intermission, you know, and they're always blown away by the athleticism in our sport, which I think is under talked about, but
for sure.
They're blown away by it for sure. All of them.
And mentally how, you know, sharp you have to stay for an 8-hour day if it's a tournament or just you're out fishing. I mean, you've got to pay attention to so many different things and stay dialed in or you're done in fishing. I mean, I think that whether you're doing it for fun or trying to do it for a living, I think that matters. But I wondered if you had experienced that, because a couple of buddies of mine that, again, hey man, I fish all the time. I love it. But from another world that they're professional in and do better than most people do. And then you get them in the boat and they're like, damn man, can we stop and have some lunch?
It's crazy. They're blown away by it. But you know, on the flip side, I'm absolutely blown away by what they do too.
Yeah.
And how much training goes into it. You know, I think that was the one that was universally across the board in all those sports, was the amount of preparation and training that they go through to get to the level that they're at. You know, they're the best in the world at their sports because of that training and preparation. And it was an eye opener for me too. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to do a little bit, even as an old guy, even as a 51-year-old old guy at the backslide of my career, I'm still trying to take notice of these things. And, you know, this off season, I'm physically training a little bit. I'm trying to fish once or twice a week. I'm trying to force myself to utilize forward facing sonar and things that I'm not good at, you know, cause I realize the value of that and realize the value of training, you know? So it's been an eye opener for me.
Well, I've seen you with the big swim baits too. That's the last couple of years. I feel like I've seen you dabble in that. Is that something that you're kind of locked in step with forward facing sonar on, or that you just enjoy, you know, cause we're seeing that technique is something that's kind of blown up, mixing the two, right? Like that's become very popular.
Yeah. I honestly, any of it that feels different or foreign or new, I want to experience it. I want to try to pull it in. And the funny thing is, you know, it doesn't necessarily even always revolve around bass fishing, you know, big baits and bass fishing. Yes. Forward facing sonar, bass fishing. Yes. But you know, I'm trying to saltwater fish and trout fish and all these, I'm just trying to fish, because I think a lot of that, you can pull pieces of it to make you a better angler, you know? So it doesn't even necessarily always revolve around just bass fishing, but just engaging in the sport. You know, I've never been one of the guys that have, you know, retreated when the last tournament's over. They just put the rods up and they hunt or they do other stuff. And I do other stuff too, but I love fishing. I really do. And so my world, Fish My City, Fishing with Vegas, there have been great ways to help me just keep engaging in the sport, because I really do love it, man. I love it.
Well, there's never been any doubt about that at all. I don't think from anybody, man. And we're grateful to have you, and you're in the back part of your career. I'm overhearing that, Mike Iaconelli. I'm going to call you at every event this year and just get on your ass. Pep talk. Yeah. Be like, this is the prime of your career. I'm going to
prime my career. Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy for you. Well, dude, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to do this. You've always been, like I said, you've always been in my corner, and I certainly appreciate it. Thank you for doing Low Budget Live one more time.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And remember, watch Ike Live.
Always. Mike Iaconelli, everybody. Well, all right. That's all she wrote with the one and only Ike. Man, can't thank him enough for coming on. Can't thank him enough for being who he is, what he's been in the sport. And interesting commentary there from Mike. And I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. I certainly was hanging on every word, man. There are great things when he speaks, and he is so knowledgeable on the history of the sport. He knows where we've been. He sees where we're going, and it's always, it's fun just to have a conversation. That's what he and I were actually talking about, that off air, is, you know, there's so many podcasts that break down the nuts and bolts of fishing tackle and all, and that's cool. That's good. That's cool. It's obviously not what the premise of what I do here, and not the premise of what Ike Live has ever been. So it's fun just to podcast for me, or just two dudes running their mouths and having a conversation. Not really I do have questions here, but Mike, it was funny. It was almost, he was reading my mind, and he was going to where my next note was to talk about there. And it's just so much fun to have that conversation. So hope you all enjoyed that. Something that I forgot to mention at the show open. I am planning on, so there's only, Christmas is on a Monday, the 25th. So there will be no Low Budget Live the week of Christmas. We'll take that week off. But I think and we may throw an extra episode in here for Christmas sake, but I think I'm going to do the next couple Mondays live. I think we're going to go live, actually live with some guests, some different things that I'm working on. Okay. I'll keep you posted. View the social media pages for all that. Don't forget RNT Tap Room, Suckard, Arkansas, this coming Saturday, December 7th, 1 to 5. Myself, Lee Livesey, Caleb Summerall, Bill Lowen, the Express team. I'll be picking and singing in the corner. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. I'll promise you, I'll probably play this 9 times. The only song I know anymore. Take you out with that. And I'll see y'all next time.
Some town to Tupelo.
Sweet.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. From the Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish.
This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.